5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Justin James.
Well, it's that time again. Thank you again for joining us on the Justin James Show podcast. And I am Justin James. And and because there's so much going on this week, I decided to bring a good friend of mine up. Ross, how are you, sir? Okay, let's try that again. We're having so many technical issues. Okay, how are you, Ross?
I'm doing well.
All right. Well, so tell me a little bit about your podcast, because you're actually a host of not just one, but two podcasts, because, you know, you're just awesome like that, right?
Yeah. Something like that. I host two podcasts. One of them is called The Blood Orange Project, and it's more well known. And the other is called 10 Minutes Together. And 10 Minutes Together is a 10-minute weekly podcast where I talk more explicitly about religion and Christianity specifically, and issues or ideas surrounding anything that could be related to spirituality. And then the Blood Orange Project is, I started that in the summer of 2017, and there was a week during a trip I was on to finish my degree at Criswell College. I was in Montreal, and during that week, we were there from like Sunday to Friday, and on Monday, my dad died. On Wednesday, a very good friend of mine attempted suicide. And then on Friday, my aunt died, all in 1 week. And after that week, I went through a weird, as anyone would, I went through a really weird, emotional, confusing time, during which time I had to preach the funeral of my aunt, which, and everything in the air at the same time. It's just very weird. And what I found that helped me the most during that time was just talking with people, sharing with people, anyone who would listen, the story of what I was feeling or what had just happened. And it was during that time where I would literally be in coffee shops in Dallas doing work of some sort, homework or whatever, and people just being nice passing by would say, you know, how are you? And I got to the point where I would say, I'm not good. I'm having a hard time. And some people would quickly find an exit. And other people would, a few people sat down and was like, you know, what's going on? And then through those conversations, I learned that, everybody, those people who are most willing to hear me were also the people who were willing to share something that was troubling them. And what I just came very apparent to me was everybody is living a very normal life, going to work, grabbing coffee, and doing whatever, checking the boxes. And at the same time, they have stuff going on that they either don't want to share or don't know how to share or with whom to share it. And that's when I decided I would start a podcast where I would invite people on to just talk about, in a long form, something from their life, either something current or something that's happened in the past that was just really hard. And I've talked to people who struggled with meth addiction. I talked with one of my friends about, and something I didn't know anything about. He opened up and shared a story of when his wife miscarried their baby in their house, what that was like. I've listened to stories from somebody's cousin murdering his grandparents with an axe. With like blunt objects, to somebody's sister committing suicide. And these are all people. It was in the beginning. These most recent ones I just shared with you were in the beginning of me starting this podcast, and they were with people that I was friends with, but I knew, I had no idea that that had happened. And everyone that I've ever interviewed has told me at the end that they were very thankful that they had the opportunity to sit down and just kind of lay it out. And that's how I felt. And I don't give anybody answers. I don't try to, I'm not a guru. I'm not a therapist. I simply am someone who has created a platform from which people can have the opportunity to vent in a way, just sort of name the things that have scared them about themselves the most. And it's been really good. We hit 11,000 downloads this week. That's cool. Yeah, so it's continued to grow, and it's proven to be pretty hard to schedule interviews with people. But I'm doing it as often as I can, and yeah, so it's good. That's the one that's most popular. 10 Minutes Together is pretty new. I just started that a month ago or so, and that's more for me. I'm not in school anymore, so it provides an opportunity for me to sort of think out loud, and I've had enough conversations with friends and other people who for some reason find themselves entertained with me thinking out loud. And so I thought, well, I'll put it on a podcast, and then I can always return to it later and listen to what I thought about this subject or this text or whatever, and see if I've grown, see if I still think the same way. So it's kind of an experiment, but the Blood Orange Project is very much a more established thing. And you can check it out at thebloodorangeproject.com if you're interested. It got more about the story of why I started it, and you can find the podcast and stuff there. I'm also, with that, I'm also putting together, or I have put together an hour long talk that I am prepared to go into pretty much any setting, that I want to kind of market it to schools. I'd like to go and share some more specific stories about me and why I started the Blood Orange Project, but specifically talking to high schoolers about the importance of sharing stories they're not willing to share on Instagram. Because we live in a world where just 25 years ago, your community was out of your control. So wherever you were born and wherever you lived until you moved away, that was your community, whether you liked it or not. And if you lived in a small town like I did, I had about 150 people in my school, or no, I'm sorry, in my class, like 400 something in high school, in my freshman to senior classes. And I was keeping up appearances. Everybody's keeping up appearances for about 400 people, right? You're trying to be, whether you're subconsciously or consciously, trying to make sure you're not the bottom of the barrel of those 400 people. And that's stressful. Everybody knows high school's stressful for many reasons. You're coming of age, your hormones are popping off. And at the same time, you're trying to figure out who you are and who you want to be. And now high schoolers have an audience of a billion or more people through social media. And there's a lot of pressure to be the coolest one on Instagram. And what we end up doing is forgetting that that's not really your life. That's an avatar. That's not who you are. And I think high school kids, as much as anyone else, really need to hear that, that,
well, I think a lot
of, you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is because they're getting accepted. A really good friend of mine, he's taking care of his granddaughter now. And he was going to take her, kind of just take the family out and for a 3-day excursion and just spend time together. And she said, I cannot be without signal from my phone because I will lose my a Snapchat status after three days. And it's like, what? Ultimately
that status like means, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You lose your Snapchat status. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Who's counting on you to be there for 3 days? And what do they offer you?
Exactly. Nothing. Exactly. Except that you get a sense of, hey, look at me, you know?
I'm active. Yeah.
I saw this on social media the other day, or an article or something, where two boys were doing something on Facebook Live. And so they had this great idea that they were going to catch, one of the boys were going to be set on fire just because they can get more views that way. And so they were giggling and laughing through this whole thing, why one of the kids were taking alcohol and other flammable products and throwing it on this other kid. And the other kid was laughing during this whole thing, like, this is going to be great. And then he lit the match, and then you can imagine the horrors that both of them just realized right then and there, like, what do we just do?
Yeah. And what's stupid about that is it will get a ton of views.
Yeah,
it really will. If it gets uploaded, it'll be viewed millions of times. And this kind of comes to an issue that, because I think a lot of people, when they hear me say this, a lot of people, in whether they're for this or against this, at first they think maybe my message is going to be, we shouldn't, social media is bad, mm-hmm. and we shouldn't use it. But that's not my message. I have social media. I use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never going to go away. And so people who are like, it's bad, we need to get everybody off of Facebook, get everybody off, it's never going to happen. So you might as well save your breath. What we need to do is have a healthy understanding of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a superficial, you know, connect. It's a good way to advertise a business,
mm-hmm.
but it's not your real life. And that's the most important thing to remember, because the other thing is, it's also not the place to share some of the things that are most troubling to you. That's not the place to do it. People try that on mm-hmm. Facebook. You see people rant. They say, like, you know, talking about their drug addiction, or their, you know, that they just got a divorce, or their spouse cheated on them or something. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is not the platform to do that. You need a community. You need a few people that you really trust to share this with, not everyone mm-hmm. forever. So it's just, I have a message through the Blood Orange Project. Not that everybody should be on the podcast, and not that everyone should have a podcast. But the message is, you need to face the reality that your Instagram profile is not an accurate depiction of the way your life really is. And that's okay. But you need to also share the stories that you're not sharing on Instagram with someone you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's life-giving, man. There's a lot of, and people discount it. You know, it's like when you give the idea, a lot of boomers have this mentality. Like when you hear them say, you know, a lot of kids these days have an enormous amount of stress because of social media and pressure. And they're like, that's crazy. Back in my day, we did a blah, 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 and we weren't stressed about it. Well, the reason they respond that way, boomers and whatever, is because they don't understand social media. They didn't have this pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it.
Well, they had other issues to deal with. I mean, they had, you know, you had World War II, they're just coming out of the Great Depression. I mean, they had other issues that they really had to worry about, and they were genuine life issues.
They had strengths that maybe we don't, have now, but we have strengths. Today's generation has strengths that they don't have.
Right.
And that's the way humanity works forever. It's like I was up in the mountains yesterday, and I was talking to this old man who we were hiking, sort of our trails met for a little while, and we were all hiking together. And he said, we started talking about the first explorers when they came out and pushing out west.
Mm-hmm.
First European explorers, and how they would push through this severe, rugged terrain for years, through the winter, through the rain and snow on horseback with like the most advanced 1800s, you know, mm-hmm. winter gear.
Right. Kind of like and Lewis and Clark kind of pushing through. Were, yeah.
Yeah. Those were a tough, fortified people who could do that. But they also lived a lot shorter lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the same time as we can say, man, they had like some real mental toughness and physical durability. They also died like at 45. So do you want to live through the harsh winters of the Rocky Mountain National Park, or do you want to live till you're 80? You can kind of pick your poison, but it kind of just illustrates how times change and what you were good at before, what was easy for you in your generation may not be easy for future generations, but they're going to be better suited for something that you have not, a skill you have not developed or a part of your character that has never been tested. It's just the way it works.
Right.
So I don't really sympathize with people who say, you know, this is a non issue, this whole social media stress thing, because it is. You go from having to keep up appearances with your high school to keep up appearances with the coolest person you can find on Instagram, and that's crazy.
But here's the thing, though. You don't have to have the Instagram account. You don't have to have that account. In fact, we have many friends, I think, that we know that are not on social media. In fact, they're like, I don't need to be on social media. What's the point? I mean, because they're just way too busy. I mean, they got other things to worry about, and they're just doing other things in life, and they're not trying to necessarily impress the world. I mean, now we have friends we know very well together that they don't need to impress the world because they already impressed the world. They arrived, you may want to call it. But
yeah, and I think it's healthy for some people not to have. Let's just pick Instagram.
Yeah.
It's healthy for them just not to have it because they're just not. It's kind of like alcohol. Like some people are just better off to not have it.
Yeah.
It's just going to be better for you. But you can't just start saying no one should have alcohol ever, period, under any circumstances. Nobody should have it. Well, that's stupid. That's not – just because you're not able to handle it doesn't mean everyone else isn't able to handle it. The problem is right now – it's like if social media were alcohol, it's like it's just been discovered and everybody's just getting plastered all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa, guys, let's pause for a second. This can be a good thing and it can be a helpful thing, but we don't need to be constantly drinking from the fountain of approval.
And I think that's where we're at. I think we're at a social media addiction. And because, again, everyone wants to be approved. Everyone wants to have that. They want to feel like they're part of something within that. I got to take a quick break. Would you hold on just for a second? We'll come back. I want to finish this. We're hitting something really important. We'll be right back with Ross.
Justin James.
Hey guys, this is Justin. With the football season already in full swing, I have to ask you, are you just watching your favorite team on TV? Or would you prefer the full experience, like you're right there on the field, by turning your living room into a fully surround sound media room? How? Well, it's simple. By calling Joe at Encore Home Theater at 469-877-3643. That's 469-877-3643. Joe has more than 25 years experience in the home theater business and will be able to answer any question you may have, and he'll get you the best price in town. No project is too small or too big for them. They'll come out just to help you mount a TV or create that perfect theater for you and your family. And with that big game just coming around the corner, now is the perfect time to call and set up that free consultation. That number is 469-877-3643, 469-877-3643. Encore Home Theater, are you ready for game day?
If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional, and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. O'Madden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air. You're listening to The Justin James Show.
All right, we're back on The Justin James Show. Little heart and soul there for you, Ross. And as we're talking about actually the heart and soul, to be real, we're talking about who are you? I mean, how does social media affect us? Ross, let's dive into this because I want to really hit this. As we were before the break, we were talking about identity and how people try to find their identity in the way that I guess other people view them within social media. So let's kind of pull this back on a little bit. What do you think the Christian's perspective of identity and around the world is supposed to be? I mean, we have Jesus said, hey, listen, you know, don't love the world. You know, you have the world's going to hate Christ type thing. The world's going to persecute you because of me. So you have this type of language in Scripture. And so how is a Christian supposed to respond to that? What are your thoughts on that?
Can you say that, give me that question again? I don't think I followed
yeah,
you.
That's fine. How is a Christian supposed to respond to this social media identity crisis?
Okay. Let me think about this. I'm not sure there's a I'm not sure there should be a difference between how a Christian, because ultimately I think the quote-unquote Christian response should also be everyone's response because it's better for them ultimately.
Okay.
But the so what I would just say is I think the appropriate response, which would also be what I would consider a biblical response, and by that I just mean like the tradition of Christianity and the teachings of Jesus, would be to not covet the life of anyone you follow, and do not portray yourself in an unsavory way, or an or in a dishonest way, looking for approval, which is. Can be a weird fine line. Like I post a lot of videos and stories and stuff that are supposed to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be silly and stupid. And a lot of people watch them and they think it's really funny and stupid. And that's fun for me because laughing at myself a lot of the time. But one of the things that you see a lot are people posting like pictures of their bodies and like it's not really hard to identify a post that is being made for admiration.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to figure that out. Like there's one thing between posting like a very like aesthetically beautiful picture. Something that's just really like, for instance, my wife took a picture of me and our dog, on the road. We were on a walk and it was so foggy that directly behind me, the fog has completely dissolved everything in the background. It is one of the coolest pictures that I've ever seen, and I'm in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that's such a cool picture, and I want people to see it because it's like visually stunning.
Right.
But I'm also not going to post a picture of my body, like, so that people can see how stunning I am, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not going to post something so that people look at me and go, wow, he's muscular, or he's really good looking, or I post a lot of black and white pictures, and even some of them are even portraits.
Mm-hmm.
And I like edit them, and I try to fix the lighting, and I'm changing the colors, and I'm pulling saturation, and I'm using it as a way to sort of creatively explore like digital photography.
Mm-hmm.
I have access to myself more than I have access to anyone else. That's why I kind of use myself most of the time. But you know that most people try to look as pretty as they can. I know people, my wife and I know people who they will post a picture, and if it does not get a certain amount of activity within the first hour of it being on the internet, they will delete it.
Hmm.
I mean, that's vanity at its finest form. If I don't have X amount of people like this photo in 1 hour, I'm deleting it.
Huh.
Like, that's vain.
Well, I mean, you're putting yourself in vanity. I'll tell you a funny vanity story. It was pretty funny. It's kind of because it's humorous, because when I was in high school, we were getting our driver's license, and one of the girls decided to get all decked out. I mean, she went like glamour shots. If you know what remember what those are. And I mean, her hair, her makeup, you know, she got all decked out because she wanted to have the prettiest driver's license photo ever. Because again, when you take a driver's license photo, it's not supposed to be pretty and glamorous and that, you know, I mean. And so when we were there at the DMV, because I think there was like three or four of us from the same, you know, from the same school there, and she was there, and the AC was out. It was completely hot. So all that makeup was running and just absolutely total mess. And, you know, the ladies there, especially you've been in Texas, and God bless our workers. And the lady at the counter, because she had the same lady I did. She's just like, okay, look here, click. All right, move on. You know, there's no way to check the picture. There's no way to edit it. There's no way to do anything. It's you're going to click the picture and that's it. And you move on. Well, she got her driver's license back a couple of, you know, after a couple of weeks, and she looked like the Joker because the makeup was the mascara and everything was running down her face. It you know, cause she was before that, she was like, hey, I'm going to have the prettiest driver's license picture ever.
Yeah.
And that's funny. It turned out it wasn't that. It was actually. Well,
I would also add that I don't think it's bad to want to look nice.
No.
I think the problem exists in wanting other people. The problem is the inability to do anything unless people tell you you're awesome.
Mm.
That's a problem. And that's where it mostly gets to. That's the main problem with social media, is you can't share the problems in your life unless you share them in a way that's like secretly you want people to tell you you're awesome for sharing it, because you can do that too. You can say, I struggle with anxiety and this is why, and you go in this long detailed comment about what you're dealing with, but it's you shirtless, like sipping coffee, looking mysteriously out a window. Like you're not really being honest. You're just using something that you might deal with so that people tell you how awesome it is that you're so honest.
Well, I think you're also too. You're feeding your ego. And instead of, I mean, I look at it in a biblical sense that we must, it's like to the point is, who do you want to display? Do you want yourself to display, or do you want Christ to display?
I think that gets weird, kind of hard, because that language is too vague, because it doesn't really mean anything. Because if you post a picture of yourself, mm-hmm. and you're saying, Or for instance, like this picture of me and my dog in the road.
Right.
In what way is Christ being displayed in that picture?
Well, there's lots of different ways. You're showing God's creation. You're showing the natural beauty of where you're at. You're showing the dog, you know, because you have like an awesome dog.
Yeah, but that's not Christ.
But yeah,
Christ is Jesus.
So how would? But again, that's the main question is that how do what is the line in the sand necessarily? Because how are Christians supposed to respond to that? That's to me, that's where the rubber really meets the road. Is how are we supposed to? I think it comes down to if I have to push those pictures up because I think this is cool and I think, hey, you know, this is fun. I'm going to share it because I think it's fun. Or like I posted a picture on Facebook a couple of days ago and it looked like this dinosaur was wrapped up, you know, looked like you see this dinosaur, you know, being kidnapped. It was actually probably a tree, but still it looked like a dinosaur. I'm like, hey, look, the dinosaur is being kidnapped. Because it's fun. It is unique. But do I need 100 likes, likes to feel like, okay, look, I'm funny, I'm accepted, or you know, it's like, hey, I'm gonna share this out here and you can do whatever you want with it. But I think that some of it is you know, I'm not talking go, you know, crazy where, you know, you can't put makeup on or anything like that. But I think there has to be a healthy way of doing it. And I think there's clearly the unhealthy way, and we're seeing more of that than the healthy way. Yeah. And that's my main concern.
It begins and ends internally, ultimately. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. So I don't think it's prescriptive. I don't think there are very many things at all that are prescriptive. And by that I mean everyone everywhere should abide by this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there could be people out there who shouldn't, you know, maybe it is an ego thing that they posted a picture with them and their dog, you know. It's a weird, I want people to see me and like me.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't why I posted it. I posted it because I thought it was like the dopest picture that I had ever like seen of my dog and definitely of my wife had taken. Like, it was sick. And people, I was like, I want to show people this. This looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case for some people. Some people would be like, oh my gosh, if three people don't comment and I don't get 20 likes in an hour, I got to delete this because I don't want people to think I'm like, you know, ugly or whatever the reasoning is.
That, right. You don't find
people
your,
would not like it.
You don't find your identity in that. I think that's right. Where the point is. You don't find your identity and who you are or your security in that. And I think that's where like you were saying, it's internal. And I think that's part of the problem. And, you know, I think there's a chapter, it talks exactly on vanity somewhere in the Bible. I think Old Testament. And
Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities.
Yeah. And so I think that, sorry, I was just testing your theological, because let me just kind of point this out. Ross is one of the smartest biblical guys I've ever met in my life. And he's...
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not lying, dude. You were like one of the top of the class, and you're a smart guy. Don't let anybody ever think otherwise. You know, and I think that's part of it. I mean, when you see some of these guys that I interact with, I mean, they might not look it, but some of them are a lot more intelligent than some of the guys that might look it. You know, just because they don't have the, you know, $10,000 suit doesn't mean that they can't hold their own. You know what I'm saying?
You're saying I don't have the look?
No, you have right now, you have that lumberjack look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I look like somebody who lives up here in Washington.
Yeah.
I get, I was in Mexico and, I had the way that I dress and stuff comes across all the time that I'm just like this druggy party, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have long hair and stuff. And my wife and I were in Mexico and it's this summer and we were walking down in the town and in a span of like 15 minutes, I got offered Coke 11 times.
Wow.
11 times. I would be walking down the road and people would just see me and they'd be like, oh, that guy likes to get down. Yeah. And I'd be walking down the road and there'd be these people like leaning up, shops everywhere, and there are people everywhere. There'd be people that like would be waiting for me and they'd be like looking down the road, like trying to make eye contact. And I would see like, I would make eye contact with them and they'd go, they'd like nod their head like that and they'd go. And I'm like, no, I'm good, man. It's all good. I don't want anything. No, thank you.
Yeah.
But, and it happened all the time. But yeah, so I don't have the look of like
and a that's
theologian.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I mean that was my point is that just because
well,
I mean
I appreciate
we don't we don't that. Look like I mean well, first of all, what is a theologian supposed to look like? I mean, you think what you know, like somebody like John Calvin, you know, with the beard and you know type thing, or Charles Spurgeon. I mean, you know, but that's not. That's not the what a theologian doesn't have necessarily a look. It's all about the heart. Yeah. And so that's what that was my point on that is that, you know, just because you might not look like some guy that can be in a college classroom and teaching, it doesn't mean that you're not qualified of doing that. Because, again, we're looking at the external, not the internal. And I think that's where one of the dangers is everyone. We get viewed on the outside and, you know, kind of like Frankenstein. Remember, you know, Frankenstein's a monster. We judge him from the outside, but we don't judge him from the inside. You know, little Van Helsing there
right.
for you. You know, he was actually one of the heroes in the movie, if you recall. And yet they wanted to destroy him because he didn't look normal. And within that, and I think that's part of that vanity issue within it. And, so within it, now I have to, well, no, we'll, I'll have to, we'll do that another time because that's an interesting more topic, but I'll put that in the back burner. So what else do you think that the church needs to do to help push or help people with their identity issue? Any comments on that? What the church you think needs to do or where the church stands on this? Because the church, a lot of the churches are using social media more than some of these other people.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, it, like I said, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
It, that would be like saying, you know, 50 years ago, you shouldn't watch television or you shouldn't pay for, you know, if you had a business or whatever, mm-hmm. you should not be on radio or you shouldn't have an ad on the radio. No one would say that. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Until some new platform comes along. And then it's just the way, it's just where it is. Like, that's what it's essentially a sign. If you like, every church has a sign to show you, hey, this is a church and this is when mm-hmm. our time starts and you should come. That's advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you think churches shouldn't have signs, you can't say churches shouldn't have social media. So they can also use it wrong, they can use it in an inappropriate way. There's a church. Like the movement in evangelicalism with like churches that are very, I don't know what to say, popular, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's a church in Miami called VU, V-O-U-S. And I don't know. I don't know how to judge this. I don't know if it's straight up wrong. I don't know if I'm just not the demographic. I don't know. But it's very... Everything about it, from the marketing to the church itself to the leadership in the church, is trendy. Mm-hmm. They all wear Drew House gear, like Justin Bieber's brand. They wear Gucci and Louis Vuitton, but it's all in like the streetwear way, where it's not like they're not trying to hide it, where you know, oh, this is shady because you're wearing Gucci, but when somebody brings it up, like you're trying to like get around the fact that you bought a $3,000 jacket. Like they're not getting around it. It's just like, oh yeah, well, this is streetwear. This is my, I minister to these people. And I heard Judah Smith say that once. He's a pastor in Seattle. And he said, like, I wear outfits because the people I am reaching are wearing these outfits. And if I were, you know, presenting myself in any way other than the way they present themselves, I wouldn't have an in that way. And maybe that's the way to go. But nonetheless, the social media specifically for this church, the VU church, which is French for you, they made a post and it was like all these youth kids like in trendy like streetwear clothing, but it was all merch from the church. Like you can buy merchandise from the church and they have like a merch store, and it was all these like, I don't know, maybe it's cool, maybe I'm being judgmental, I don't know, I don't know how to think about it, but
right.
To me it screams of like, guys, this is going to be ostracizing to people who cannot buy this.
Mm-hmm.
And the church should not be a marketplace where anyone, and we talked about this in our podcast, mm-hmm. It should not ever present an opportunity where someone can be there and feel bad that they can't be a part of something because they don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
And I think that's, I don't know where that church is, but I understand. I mean, we see that in mission fields all the time. It's like you got to have to blend in into the community that you're around. But in the United States, I mean, I think if I can minister to a professional baseball player who's a friend of mine and literally in jeans and a t-shirt at his house, and this guy makes probably a lot more money than some of these guys. If I can minister to him and hang out with him and spend time with him and build a relationship with him in jeans and a t-shirt, then and it's the same way. I mean, I can go to some of my other friends that are like filthy rich. And again, I'll be fine hanging out with them in jeans and a t-shirt or polo shirt or something that's not a brand name or anything, because they're not really looking at that. And a lot of, the only people that really care about fashion are only a very, I think, a small group of people to an extent. And because outside of that, it's I think a lot of us just want to be comfortable, you know, I mean.
Well, I like to look cool.
Yeah.
I try to be fashionable. But there's a difference between like enjoying looking nice or like feeling good and like even staying up with trends. There's a difference between doing that and wearing clothes that only a very small demographic of people around you could even participate in.
Right.
And also preaching a message of equity and love and peace and generosity. And I don't know, to me, I don't know. Like I said, I'm trying to think through it and I wouldn't do that. But I could also, I'm willing to be wrong about that feeling. And maybe that is exactly what they should do. They should, they have the ability, obviously, and maybe it's working. Their churches are huge. So I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing.
Well, I mean, only time will tell. And if they're preaching biblical, if they're staying, to biblical texts and they really are trying to teach the Bible and not 12 ways to improve yourself, I think at least their doctrine is sound and the way they're teaching is sound, and that we have to.
And I don't know anything about that either. Yeah. I think Judah Smith does a good job, but I don't know any of these other guys.
But that's just something to kind of just, throw out there is, but again, I mean, and that's the other thing is that, are we approachable? I mean, that's another evangelistic fun question that I like to discuss when I'm around the evangelist guys. Is the church approachable these days? And in other words, do we have to dress a certain way to order to approach these certain people? And I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that we have to put on the $10,000 suits, to be able to approach somebody. I think we can approach people in different ways. One of my fun movies that I would like to watch, is definitely in my top hits, is The Pursuit of Happiness. If you remember that movie with Will Smith, he went in for the job interview of the lifetime, and he was wearing like jeans and a t-shirt, and he was painting the night before.
Right.
So, and because of the circumstances he was in, and he got the job. I mean, these guys were driving around Ferraris and Lamborghinis, and he walked in with, you know, with that, and he was able to get the job. So I think a lot of it is, to
can
me.
Can you hear my dog?
Yeah, I can, actually. That's pretty cool.
He's whining. I'm sorry. He's freaking.
He's going crazy.
The broom. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sorry.
No, you have a cool dog, and I applaud that he likes cement blocks.
Yeah, he loves those, or hates them. I don't know which it
he's
is.
He's fascinated with them. He's like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
So within that. But yeah, well, Ross, it was great, man, for you to come on, and great topics, things to really think about that we, you know, we as a church, or even somebody trying to live it for God, and at least biblically, gives us some things we probably need to think about and digest. And so I need to bring you back on so we can finish this conversation. We definitely.
Yeah.
It was great. And again, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your podcast. And again, I'll put that link on below on this one, and so you can check it out. And so make sure you check it out, because he does some great work and great ministry as he's ministering to these people that are hurting. And he does a great job with it. And again, Ross, thank you again, brother. Any last words?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Reach out to me at you can go to the website, and I'll give that to Justin. He can put that in the show notes. thebloodorangeproject.com. And if you'd like me to come and share my story and a little bit more specific stories about kind of the topics we talked early on in this podcast, either with your youth group or your church or your school, just hit me up through that. You can email me at booking@thebloodorangeproject.com. That's booking@thebloodorangeproject.com. Send me an email and we'll try to work something out. And I'm booking dates now to do a speaking tour. So, yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool.
To come where you are.
Yeah. You're going to bring your guitar, right? I mean, that's.
I am. Yeah. So it is. So I'll have, because I actually wrote music. That was an outlet that I used before I came up with the podcast early on that helped me kind of process. And so there are a couple of songs that I play during the kind of the talk that illustrate different times of my grief and emotion during those weeks leading up to me starting the Blood Orange Project. So yeah, actually, I do bring a guitar and I do sing some, but because I am a musician, if you don't know, I play music, I write music, I produce music, and I do a lot of stuff, but yeah.
Well, you're a lot more talented than I am, and see, that's part of it. It's like, I have no sense of music whatsoever. That's my wife, you know, that's Sophia. She's the music, you know, person of the family. I don't know. I just like to have fun and just talk to people and all that. But man, you're kind of the full package there, man. So, but definitely reach out to him. Good friend, great smart guy. And but again, thank you again for being on this program and just opening your heart and talking about the importance of social media. It was something I never thought about talking about.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. And I really appreciate it, man. I really do.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. Well, you have a great week and God bless. And then we will talk with you later.
Justin James.